healed. Now, you would think this is good news. This is good news for that crippled man, but things get interesting. Go to the next slide, if you would. The crippled man is healed, and Jesus is exalted. So the man runs into the temple, and he's leaping, and he's jumping, and he's praising God. So the man is healed, Jesus is exalted, but then this happens. Jesus is exalted, go to the next slide, but Peter and John are arrested. Now, understand this, friends. When you step out in faith to trust God, when you exalt Jesus with your life, some people are going to get mad about it instead of being glad about it. And that's what happened to Peter and John. They're taken. It says it's late in the evening, so they didn't put him in the courtroom because the courtroom was closed for the day. And so they take them and they throw them in jail. And they're locked up. And then something happens. You would think, well, you know what? They just locked them up. That's the end. That's what we're trying to do, is squelch the movement. We're trying to shut the movement down. But instead, it says 5,000 men, the number of men believing came to 5,000. So you can try to stamp this fire out, but it just spreads. And that's what happens in the book of Acts. Peter and John are arrested, and that's where we find the story today. Go to the next slide, if you would. Let's read this together. Ready? Go. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with what? Said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, listen to what he says, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that's bold, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. That's not just a cool worship song. That's where it comes from. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now let's make this really simple to understand. Go to the next slide if you would. They saw the courage of Peter and John. They saw the courage of Peter and John. They stepped back and they said, there's something unique here. And they saw the courage. There was no fear of man in Peter and John. Peter, who had earlier denied Christ, now there's no uncertainty. They saw the courage, and here was the courage. Peter said, this Christ whom you crucified him. And, oh, by the way, was this God who raised him from the dead. That's courage. By the way, you have to understand, when Peter stands up and he says this, he's saying it to murderers. He's saying it to the very people who nailed Jesus to the cross. And they saw the courage of Peter and John. They saw their courage. Like, they just could see it. You could feel it. When Peter stands up and he says to them, you killed this guy, and God raised him from the dead. They saw the courage. But not only that, go to the next slide, if you would. They saw the courage of Peter and John. But then they also realized that these were unschooled men. You say, what does that mean? It means that they didn't have all the right degrees. It means that they didn't have all the right letters behind their name. They didn't have the diplomas on the wall. In fact, the teacher, this is what they said later about Jesus. Go to the next slide if you would. It says that the Jews were amazed talking about Jesus because said, here's a guy who has such learning and he wasn't even taught. So their teacher alone wasn't fit to teach. How does he have so much learning and he isn't even taught? And yet they said, here are these men. They see their courage. They see that they're unschooled. They see that they don't have all the right education. And then they see them as this. They're just lay people. They're just ordinary. The word there, ordinary, literally has a root in the idea of lay people. People that, you don't match up. That's what they're saying here. Now, you need to know the Bible teaches something different. And you need to know that the Reformation took down the divide between the clergy and the laity and said, we are all part of the body of Christ, and we all have a witness in this world, and we all have a part to play in this world. And there are no mere ordinary lay people. You have never met a mere mortal. They look at them and they're like, you're just ordinary. And yet, instead, God worked in some kind of a powerful way. And here's why. It's because they knew that they had been with Jesus. It says they took note. They had been with Jesus. Now let me give you this picture for a moment. Whoever you spend the majority of your time with, you will become like them. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs, he who walks with the wise will become wise, but he who keeps company with fools will suffer harm. So there's something about who we walk with that rubs off on us. There's something about who we walk with that rubs off on our lives. They knew that they had been with Jesus. I want you to get this picture. A number of years ago, I was traveling for an entire week, and I was traveling with a guy who his wife had just left him, okay? And as we traveled, he would tell me all these stories about his wife, and he would say, my wife, she's this, and my wife, she's that, and my wife, and he was just really critical of his wife. I mean, chirp, 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 chirp about how bad his wife was and how lousy his wife was, and I mean, he didn't have anything good to say about his wife. And I'm sitting there like, my goodness, man. Like, I was thinking, you're not the nicest person to be around. Like, I might have walked out too. I don't know. And so I was like frustrated with this guy. And then I get home. And after a couple of days, Julie says to me, she said, Chad, she's like, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you haven't been very nice to me since you've been home from that trip. Like, you're kind of mean to me, honestly. Like, you're being a little critical and rude and harsh. And why? Like, what's with it? And I realized for 1 week I had walked with this guy, and it rubbed off. She was right. Whoever you walk with the wise, you become wise. But walk with a fool, and you will suffer harm. You will suffer harm. These men had been with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus, and Jesus had rubbed off on them. They had learned from Jesus. They had learned from everything he said. They had watched Jesus. They had studied Jesus. They wanted to be like Jesus. And the more they watched him and the more they walked with him, they didn't just pray a prayer. They didn't just say, Jesus, be in my heart. But they watched him and they became like him. Wouldn't it be amazing if this week you went to work and somebody said to you, Steve, you know, that's Steve Garrick. He looks a lot like Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if somebody said that about you, John? That's how Jesus talks, by the way. Jesus has a southern accent. That John Lawson, he's got a southern accent, but he sounds a whole lot like Jesus. Wouldn't it be something if you walked into the high school and you looked like Jesus? You look like Jesus in the way you respond and the way you interact and the way you relate to people. These men had been with Jesus. It wasn't their education. It wasn't their credentials. They had no pedigree. Nobody could figure it out. What was it? I get it. They've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They were uneducated, ordinary men who had been with Jesus. Now, let me dispel a myth. Some of you in this room, you would say, well, you know what? I'm not enough. God can't use me. Some of you in this room, I've heard people say this, I'm just not that gifted. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a forester. I'm just a builder. You are not just anything if you are a follower of Jesus. You are chosen and called by his name, and the more you're with Jesus, the more you can look like Jesus. Or People will say, well, I'm not good enough, gifted enough, smart enough, talented enough. I'm not. And I want you to know, you may not be enough in and of it yourself. We're not. There's no one righteous, not anyone. But with Christ, you are more than enough. You may say, well, God can't use me. And I would say, listen, if God can use me, he can use you. In fact, I came across this week, and it made me smile. If we can do all of this with a potato, imagine what God would do through you. How many of you are mashed potato people in this room? Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about everything we do with a potato and imagine what God could do with you. God can use you. God can use you to shine light in darkness. God can use you to bring encouragement into someone's life. God can use you to do just that. But here's the deal, friends. You have to get this. What makes all the difference is Jesus. It's Jesus. Not just knowledge about Jesus, not just saying a little prayer about Jesus, not just religion as a hobby, but what makes all the difference is Jesus. It's being with Jesus. Now, some of you are like, well, how do I spend time with Jesus? Like, I live in the real world, right? I mean, how do you live with Jesus? Let me give you a couple of ways that you can live an ordinary day with Jesus. Here's one. When you get in the car in the morning, instead of listening to Tom Stocker, like I do, by the way, I like Tom Stocker. I have a good Tom Stocker impression, by the way. It's just Tom Stocker with your morning news. You're on WRLS, and I have a Tom Stocker. That's my Tom Stocker impression. My sons have heard me do it. So instead of getting in the car, I can tell you don't like my Tom Stocker impression, but instead of getting in the car in the morning and saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to Tom Stocker give the news. What if you got in the car in the morning, turned off the radio, and just said, I'm going to talk to Jesus? Or what instead of going home at the end of the day and saying, I'm going to watch reruns of Seinfeld. I mean, that's what I'm going to do. Or MASH. I mean, I was watching MASH this week, and I was like, man, this is really good. And I realized I watched 4 episodes of MASH in a row, like back to back to back. 2 hours of my life gone watching MASH. What if I took one of those episodes and just said, I'm going to talk to Jesus? Now, some of you are like, well, what am I going to say to Jesus? Where is he, and how do I talk to him? Some of you, it means getting out in nature. I'm going to go on a hike. I'm going to walk in the woods, and I'm just going to pray, or I'm going to sing. Some of you, it may mean calling a friend and having a faith-filled conversation that will help you to hear Jesus. Where some of you, it'll mean opening God's Word and just read the red letters. Just read the red letters and say, I want to look more like this. It occurred to me this week that Jesus wants to spend time with you more than you would ever want to spend time with him. Jesus wants to spend time with you more than you could ever imagine. When I was a little boy, all I wanted to do was be with my dad. My dad is a great guy. He loves Jesus. He loves my sister and I. He loved my mom all the way to the end. He loves Cindy really well today, his wife. When I was a little kid, there were days that all I wanted to do was to be with my dad. I just wanted to spend time with him. And then I remember thinking, I wonder if that's going to be true of my kids someday. And so the other day, Jack, I was working on this very sermon, and Jack walked in the room, and he's like, Dad, it's a beautiful day outside. It was actually yesterday, because you know it rained all week. And so he comes in, and he's like, Dad, it's a beautiful day outside. I just want to be with you, Dad. Can we go outside and play catch? And I was like, yeah, man, 5 minutes. Finish. Like, who do I have to look like? I want to look like Jesus. Who do I have to be with? I have to be with Jesus. And then he comes in. He's got his rollerblades on. He's in the hallway of the house. And he's like, Dad, come out. Come watch me rollerblade. And I was like, dude, that's really good. 10 minutes. Like, I upped it because I'm like, I'm not done yet. I got to finish this sermon. And he came in 4 times. And then I said to him at the end, I never went outside. And then at the end of that, I said to him, hey, your mom and I are going to go on a date tonight. And he looked at me, he's like, I thought you were going to be with me. And I'm like, well, yeah, I was going to be with you. Like, but now it's late in the day, and I wasn't. I got home last night. Julie and I went on this date. We went to the Horse Spirit fundraiser. I was disappointed there were no horses there. And I went to the Horse Spirit fundraiser. And I walked in, and Jack's in our bed. And he's got the iPad out. And he's watching a movie called Axel. It's a high-end sci-fi, totally true story about a robotic dog that has an owner. It's, trust me, it sounds as interesting as you hear it right now. And I walked in and I was like, Jack, I want to watch that movie with you. And he's like, no, I'm good. And I realized I'd missed it. So I walked up next to the bed and I was like, you scoot over right now. And he's like, what, Dad, what? I said, I'm watching this movie with you. He's like, you've seen it before, Dad, it's okay. I was like, no, I'm watching this movie. And I'm thinking, this is not my favorite movie. But he's like, so I was like, scoot over. And so he scoots over. And I watched the last hour and 10 minutes of Axel. I knew how it was going to end. The dog gets blown up at the end of the story. I knew it's a robotic dog. I want you to know. Now, it's not like a real dog. It's a robot dog. Some of you are like, the dog blew up. What are you watching even your kids watch? But... and I hugged him and I said, Jack, earlier today you wanted to be with me, and I was all preoccupied with church stuff. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I hope you know I really want to be with you. Like, I just like spending time with you. I just like being close to you, you know, and cuddled up. And you know what he did? He like reached over, he gave me a hug. And he's like, you are the best dad ever. And he took my hand and he kissed my hand like that. Isn't that sweet? Kiss my hand. Jesus wants to be with you more than you would ever know. One way that we spend time with Jesus is when we remember his death, his body being broken and blood being shed. And so today, here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to receive communion in a moment, but the scriptures tell us we shouldn't come to this table carelessly. We need to come to this table reverently. We need to ask ourselves, is my heart right with God? Are Jesus and I on the same page? You say, well, how do I know that? It means if you've turned your heart toward him and you're following after him. I'd like you in this moment to simply ask Jesus to come close to you. And I'd like to ask you in this moment, do you know him? Not do you know about him. Not do you know bits and pieces, but do you know him as a friend? Do you know him as a healer? Do you know him as a forgiver, as a rescuer? Do you know him as a savior? Is your heart right with him today? And is your heart right with others? Are you harboring unforgiveness in your heart? Is there someone you need to forgive? Is there an offense that you need to release with the help of Jesus? I'd like you just to have a moment of silence. And those that are helping us with communion, if you can come, if you would. And let's just reflect in a moment and just talk to Jesus. Tell him the prayer you most want to pray. Tell him what you're most struggling with today. Tell him where you're most needing today. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Drink, remembering the price that was paid. Jesus, we worship you today. We worship you today in this place. You've been here with us today. We thank you for that. We thank you for the gift of who you are. We thank you for your presence in our lives. And we pray this prayer that you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.